Hello again, everybody. This is James Bartley, and you're watching and listening to the Cosmic Switchboard Show. Today, my guest is Ida Farhad. Ida is the host of the Cosmic Ruh podcast. She speaks openly about her lived experience of being used in super soldier, MyLab abduction, and trauma-based mind control programs, and her journey toward healing and self-actualization. Ida worked as co-producer of the Full Disclosure Now conference in 2024 and 2025, and recently spoke at the International Disclosure Conference 2025 in December, produced by Miles Johnston and the Basis Project. So, without any further ado, Ida, welcome to the Cosmic Switchboard Show.
Thank you for having me, James. I'm very happy to be here. This
Um,
is absolutely an honor and a pleasure. I mean, I've been watching you for so long. I mean, 15, 20 years now, I think.
Yeah, this it's for a
Long
while.
time. And you were one of my biggest go-tos to understand some of my experiences and what I was dealing with when it comes to targeting and reptilians and so forth. So thank you for having me on.
Well, thank you, and also thank you for getting me to the Full Disclosure Now conference. It was through your efforts that I became a part of that conference, and thank you very much. It was wonderful meeting you and the other people there. It was quite an experience. I'll never forget it. And I got to hang with some really cool people, yourself included. Take us back on your voyage of discovery. We were talking before the show started that, sometimes we know for a very short microsecond of time when we're coming back here. I had a similar experience where, and I've read similar accounts, right? And I'm not trying to allow that to, intrude upon my memories, right? Because that the danger of contamination is very real. But I had a fleeting moment when I was a baby of not being able to sit up and look around, but somehow, like when you're laying in bed, and for whatever reason, either due to an experience or some other natural organic means, your perception is enhanced, and you don't even need to open your eyes. You can kind of see through closed eyelids what's going on around you. And momentarily, when I was a baby, similar thing happened where I realized I was like in a crib, and this realization dawned on me that I'm back here again, right? And then that memory was gone. So I totally relate to, some of the things you told me. Take us back to the start, at least, this incarnation after you were born. Tell us a bit about your background, your family, and how that, because the genetics and everything really are a big part of this story of yours. So you've got the floor.
Okay, well, I guess I could start. So when I was born, I was left at the hospital for 2 days. And the story that was told to my family, the reason I was being left there is because I had an infection in my right eye tear duct. What I know to be true is that that's when I was implanted. I was told that I had a scorpion implant and I could see it. I mean, whenever I look into a TV screen, anything bright, telephone, TV screen, a lamp, computer, I see this object in my eye. It looks like a bundled up piece of wire. I'm thinking it's more like what's the word I want to use? It looks like wire, but it's, what's the word I want to use? It's like etheric. I don't know how to explain it. Sorry, let me just. And it's bundled up and it has these pieces that hang off of it, and then it has nodes on the pieces that are hanging. So if I look in the light, like right now, I can see it, and it's right here. And if I close this eye, I see pieces of it on this side, but the primary implant is here in the right side. And so I had asked my sister, when I was a baby, was I loved, was I held? Because I started asking a lot of questions after having a full-blown Kundalini activation. So much information I was being remembering. I don't know that I like to use the word download. It seems so, but our memories come alive when our DNA activates, and you know, and it can be challenging to put the pieces together and make sense of what you're remembering. Anyway, so I asked my sister Karen, so and she said, Ida, all I remember is when you're a baby, you were left at the hospital because you had an infection in your right eye tear duct. And I thought to myself, oh no, absolutely not. That's when the implant took place, which Simon Parks calls a scorpion implant. And you may hear me refer to Simon Parks several times throughout this discussion, only because I did work with him for some time until I decided not to, because he was trying to use mind control on me. So I'm not here to talk po poorly about him. I'm just saying, I confronted him about it and some other things. But he did help me to the extent he was willing to help me. So I am the youngest of 12 kids. I was born and raised in Maryland and born at the Tacoma Park Washington and Venice Hospital, which was called Sanctuary back then. And it was military run. And it was in Tacoma Park, Maryland. My mother, I believe, was a used as a breeder. I think she was. She had nine children. Her first husband was in the military, and every time he'd come home, he'd get her pregnant and leave her. And finally, she decided to leave him. He evidently, the story I was told, so some of these stories that have been passed down through the family, you know, I hear different stuff, so I'll just emphasize that. But evidently, he was not very kind to his children, and he tried to get her to leave the kids in foster care. She had to put him in foster care for some time when she decided to leave him so that she could get on her feet to bring her children back home. This is before myself and my brother and sister were born from my dad. And she got out, they were on a bus supposedly and considering going to California, and she got off the bus and did get her children back. Some she didn't get back for years, maybe 3 or 4 years. I think the last one was my brother John. He was a blonde haired, blue eyed. I definitely believe he was either used in Montauk or definitely trauma based mind control. I mean, I could tell stories about him. That's a whole nother show. But so I grew up in a family where there was a lot of abuse. Physical, sexual. My mother did her best to raise 12 of us, but she was gone a lot when I mean, by the time I was born, I'm the youngest, she was working and not home much. And so it gave people access to me that shouldn't have been able to have access to me. One of which was my sister's husband, who is now in prison for two lifetime sentences. For gutting a man who caught him raping his girlfriend. And he'd done many other things. He tried to get me. He was in the stairwell at the apartment where I was living with my sister and asked to come in. And I just remember my sister saying, if he ever asks to come in, do not let him in the house. I don't think she was thinking about sexual assault. I think she, because he would, you know, steal things to live. Buy
This was
drugs,
your
whatever
sister
he
that was
could do.
married to him.
No, it was another sister. So, yeah. And actually the guy I was dating at the time, which was one of my handlers, Juan Rodriguez, I say his name. I haven't seen him for years or talked to him, of course, but he was quite abusive. But he was outside waiting for me. So I knew in my mind, and if I would were to have taken too long, he would have potentially got abusive or, you know, yelled at me or something. He was very controlling, dominating. He looked like he was chiseled from the hand of God. Very handsome guy, fifth degree black belt, Navy SEAL, or wanted to become a Navy SEAL. He didn't. I don't believe he ever did. But he was in the Navy, and I think he lied to me about some of that stuff, but I think he was discharged because of his behavior. And anyway, so I did a lot of, I went through a lot of sexual abuse from a couple of my brothers. And And then this, my brother-in-law, who came into my room one night and did some things, and I'll just say that he didn't penetrate me, but other things. And my best friend's father, one of my best friends, I had two friends when I was a kid, Iris and Katie. Iris was black, Katie was Spanish. Katie was never allowed to leave her yard. I don't know why. Katie was never allowed to leave her yard, which, and they were Seventh Day Adventists. Long story short, every Saturday I would go to Iris's house and we would dance and play in the rec room and watch Soul Train on Saturday. And then I would go to Katie's house to play with her because they didn't get along. Well, I was at Iris's house one day. When I was done, I had intentions to go down to Katie's house. The night before that, her brother, my sister's boyfriend, Frida was on restriction. I know this, I don't, well, I'll give the detail because it'll lead up to what I'm prepared to tell you. So Frida and Sal, or Frida and Melvin were boyfriend and girlfriend. She was on restriction, but I was the kid that would take off and run away anytime and do what I want. I didn't listen to anybody. And she sent me down with a note to send to Melvin. We were playing Spin the Bottle. And the bottle came to me. Had to kiss my brother's boyfriend. Well, the father is standing in the window, the basement. It was underground basement, but it had the windows watching. And I saw him, and I'm thinking we're going to be in trouble. I left, went home. The next day, he came up to Iris's house saying that his daughter mentioned that she and I had a fight, and I needed to come to the house and work it out with Lisa. As a kid, I was taught to respect my elders. So I went with Mr. Carrero, believing that, I have to go with him. He's an adult and I'm being told to come to the house. Something didn't feel right, James, the whole way walking down. I was on gravel road. I remember kicking my feet, kicking the gravel, asking questions. I could just feel this something's not right, but I kept going because I was taught to respect my elders. We went into the house, and now Lisa's gone, went down to the friend's house, which I know is not true because she was never allowed to leave her yard. I believe he was molesting her for sure. And he shut the front door and walked down the hallway and towards his bedroom and stood there and just kept looking at me and then told me to come into his bedroom. And he molested me. The phone rang. His wife called from church, and he's telling me I'm laying on the bed with my pants to my knees. I know this is a little graphic, but this is the kind of craziness that goes on. My feet are dangling at the end of the bed, and I'm looking at the ceiling like, why is this happening to me? Right? And the phone rang, and he did this and like, go, just get out because his wife was on the phone. I went to tell Iris's mom because I didn't want to tell my sister because I knew my sister wouldn't do anything, or I potentially would have gotten, in trouble, sent to my room, whatever. And Iris's mom called my sister and told her what happened, and I was told send her, or she was told to send me home, and nothing was ever done. That man was able to pack his family and move to Puerto Rico. Nothing was done. Had my father found out about that, I believe something really bad would have happened. But that set the tone for the programming and the lack of self-value and worth because I wasn't being protected. And even though and telling somebody what happened to me and nothing being done gave me, how do you grow up no believing that you matter at all if nobody's protecting you? Do you understand what I mean?
How old were you at the time?
Like 6, 7 years old. I was a little girl. I was young.
Did you tell anyone, or you told
Told my sister,
your sister?
who's the same sister that used to beat my brothers and sisters in front of me. She didn't do to me what she did to them because I was a skinny, small. I was long and I was tall and skinny, but I was small, very small when I was young. She didn't do to me what she did to them, but I had to witness it, which made me, now we talk and, but I was very angry at her for a long time. I was just, my brother would hide in the closet and wait till I fall asleep or to come and fondle me, and I'd lay there and move around to scare him, that I was waking up, so he'd leave my room. My brother John, who died, had sex with me from the age of 9 till I was 11 years old. And he did, so he left, he disowned himself from the family. And I ran into him. I used to compete dancing when I was young. And I ran into him, and he offered me a ride home, and something in my spirit said, go with him. And he did. He said to me, Ed, I'm very sorry what I did to you when we were, kids. I want you to know what I did to you was being done to me. And I knew that because I saw a man groping my brother. And yeah, I know I'm jumping around a little bit too.
No,
Sorry.
I've heard of similar dynamics, and I'm so glad you're on this journey of healing and self-integration, because I can imagine the self-worth just being stripped away. And what you described, the family dynamic, if you want to call it that, was it was a perfect storm. It sounds from what you, when you told me, because I'm not mistaken, 9 kids, right?
There's 12. My mother had 9, met my father, and had 3 more.
How
So
many
that's a
live?
whole nother story. My dad coming here from Palestine. So I'm half Arabic, Irish, Scottish, and Palestinian.
That factors into the bloodline aspect, because I've met people that were of like Moorish descent, Algerian descent, and there are secret societies, mystical orders in some of those desert lands, quite advanced. Understanding of astronomy and mysticism, what have you, not necessarily absorbed by, Islamic slash Freemasonic influences. They kind of develop on their own. Some of them may have been co-opted, corrupted, if you will. But point I was making was the situation was set up where all these kids were vulnerable because your mom had to work to support the kids. And so these men would they had free rein to come and go in the house, and it with the benefit of hindsight, there seems to be a systematic aspect to it. Like whoever was whatever malevolent force was pulling their strings to get these men to come over, it was for this long-term plan of dissociation and splitting off and trauma. So it happened to a number of members of your family, basically, not just yourself.
No, it did happen to, yes, I agree with that. Now, most of my family won't ever talk about what happened to them. They will continue to, I went through probably 10 drug rehabs. I mean, I was introduced to cocaine and intravenous drug use at the age of 12 years old. The first time I got high, I was 6. My brother gave me a bong, hit a pot, and watched me run around the room high. 6 years old, James. I drank up until I was introduced to cocaine. I preferred cocaine because I have ADHD and it would calm me. So, but besides the fact that I was wanting to escape and not feel because I couldn't deal with my reality was, I mean, I thought sex, drugs, and rock and roll was the thing. We did acid, went to concerts. I had a guy that I thought was God to me, my first, what I call my first love, clearly not, but he was my first handler. And they actually used him to try to trigger me with words to get me to go back into Trump, to
Switch
trigger
to
me. Yeah,
another altar,
switch.
to a
Yes,
childhood
he
altar
called
or
me up.
something.
He was like, Ida, do you remember when? And I'm like, I knew that's what he was trying to do. And I was like, I gotta go, Bubba. And I hung up the phone. I don't even think that he understands that he's part of this and was used at all. Because he continued to try to reach out to me and I just wouldn't allow him back in my life. Like it was, and there was a guy, Cornelius Owens, that was the director of the Boys and Girls Club, and I forgot what district in DC. And it's just like all these people that had something to do with my programming showed back up in my life at that time when I was being targeted really bad, if that makes sense. But he tried to, I mean, Bubba sat on me and beat me in my head, both sides of my head, like on top of me, boom, 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 boom. And some of the other guys that grew up in our area came banging at the door. I don't know how they knew I was there. And had they not, he probably would have beat me to death. He was reptilian, for sure. I'd watch him shift.
There's a systematic nature to it. And from the perspective of a young girl, did there seem to be any overt connection to them? Or were just, here comes another perp into the equation, here comes another one? Or, and were these like family acquaintances, friends of your mother, or just opportunistic predators that happened to be in the area and were aware of all these vulnerable kids?
Okay, so James, you wouldn't believe how many molestations I dealt with growing up and perverts and so forth, including my sister's husband, who tried to get me to kiss him, would have me massage him, so forth, ran away, got sent back home. When I got sent back home, that's when I decided to, I would run away every chance I got. And I met him, and all the girls wanted him and he wanted me. I always end up with those kinds of guys, narcissistic, good looking, abusive, closet faggots. I believe a lot of them are closet faggots. I really do. And I don't mean to say, because I've watched this play out. I mean, I know it so well now. There are a lot of men on this planet that are, I call them faggots. I'm not saying it to be derogatory, gay faggots.
Yeah, it's a descriptive term. It doesn't necessarily have like
I don't judge.
Derogatory connotation. You know, just to back up what you're saying, I spoke to a guy. And he was, he didn't come out right out and say so. But what I got, the impression I got was he was kind of a male escort. He had kind of that, you know, feminine anima, kind of effeminate, very good with accents, right? He used to do, because he talked about meeting these people from a certain Middle Eastern country, we'll just leave unnamed, and he would just, when he would be describing his discussions with them, he would just drop their accent perfectly, right? And he'd met members of the royal family of Sweden, and he was present with a very well-known news journalist, Bilderberger type guy. And, you know, they both did a shapeshift on him, and they laughed at him when he was like momentarily, you know, state of consternation. And he said that he would be in the bowels of the Pentagon in a hot tub with these high-ranking Defense Department and military officials, right? So obviously he's some kind of an escort, right? You know, just, but, you know, I'm just holding space. I'm not making a value judgment, you know, human interest story, and we're just having a connection at that level. But, and then later on, Kay Griggs comes out with her story talking about how so many players in the Pentagon and the Defense Department in general, that they're gay, they're closet gay guys. And then where you have that gay element, right, within, as you know, within that demographic, there's going to be groomers, pedos, right? Because they tend to like boys, right? So, yeah, it seems to me that, and also there's that reptilian Draco element in there as well that had played a key role in changing, subverting their moral compass, if you will, making them change, right? But now, I want to make a quick point, because it's very synchronistic that you'd bring this up. Right before I came on to join you, I had just, I'd watched a short on YouTube, and it was from Damon Wilson, who was the son of Sanford and Son. If you remember that show, I used to love that show.
I used to.
And if memory serves, he was a Vietnam War, a Marine or Army veteran, a very good guy, you know, very Christian based. And he talked about how evil Hollywood is, right? And he talked about how Billy Preston, who we know Billy Preston from his work with the Rolling Stones, solo work, you know, a great musician, He was also on Let It Be, if memory serves, of the Beatles. He played piano on Get Back. But anyway, he knew the mother and the aunt of Billy Preston, and they handed him over to this black entertainer guy in Hollywood. And he said, he's the one. He mentioned him by name. They showed a picture of him. This guy is the one who turned Billy Preston gay, because the way a lot of, gay groomers work is they find themselves a young guy, they groom them, and they buddy up to him. The reason you're confused, the reason you're shy around girls, just about every guy, lots of guys are shy around girls when they're growing up. Some have natural confidence, others not so much. The reason you're uncertain about them is because you don't really like girls. You don't really like women, okay?
Right.
And let me show you and explain to you why. That's so many gay guys have that in their background, where an older gay person grooms them, literally grooms them. And that's what happened to Billy Preston, because it was whispered in the entertainment field and in the music industry, the guy's gay. Well, Damon Wilson just laid out why. Because his probably for financial reward or some other form of compensation, kickback, his own mother and aunt had pawned him off to this gay guy, and thus that turned Billy Preston gay. But anyway, just wanted to throw that out there. It's very synchronistic that you bring this up.
Well, I mean, I've just watched for, I mean, I've dated some of them, if you want to call it date. It was really just sex, but they have this hatred towards women. They want to show the world that they're, these tough guys and, good looking and whatever, and they've got this beautiful girl next to them, but behind closed doors, they're abusive, controlling. All of these things, and the sex isn't normal. Like, clearly there's something
There's some
else
definite
going on.
S&M, B&D aspects, very into.
Well, I never experienced any of that, but I did experience, requests of anal sex was
Yes.
a common thing.
Yes.
And I mean, I'm a grown woman and I'm being very transparent. I'm not embarrassed of
Oh, but
any of this.
that's a
It's
key aspect of it
only,
all, because
yeah,
that's a key form of programming is sodomy and anal sex from an early age,
right.
because it opens up.
So, well,
Yeah.
I didn't, it wasn't until I was older that I allowed it. And that only happened a couple times because I always knew something was very wrong about this, but I wanted to be pleasing to my partner that I thought I loved so much. We talk about Evie Lorgan and reptilian love bite. I definitely experienced that when I had my Kundalini activation. One of the requests was anal sex. And I remember the night that my Kundalini, that I was drained of my energy. And I believe a Draco reptilian took him over, the guy. I thought he was my world. Now, I'm thankful. I didn't like going through the experience, but I'll tell you, James, I wouldn't be where I'm at in my life today. And I live on a very humble income. I'm actually, I have to get assistance because I have a sixth grade education, although I'm a very smart person. I left school in sixth grade. It was the last grade I completed. I had no interest in school. I was being used. I was told from Peter the Insider that worked with James Rink that they use cocaine to get me to go on missions. And when I think back, because I was thinking about us doing the show today and really like trying to tell myself, like, stay focused, get to pertinent, and like share information that's going to be helpful to the listeners. But I just, there was a reason I was saying that. Now my mind's going blank. Sorry, James.
Oh, they found traces of cocaine in some of these Incan mummies,
Okay, no, I'm not
from
surprised. Okay, so
Mesoamerica.
yes.
And
So
I'm not sure
yeah.
about the chemical composition, but there's almost, if I didn't know any better, we know the effects in general of what cocaine does and how it can be a gateway and open oneself
It
up
opens
to,
your crown
yeah,
chakra.
crown
Well, so does
chakra.
Adderall.
Yeah, and open
So
one up. But also, there's almost like, if I didn't know any better, but in a kind of a different way, there's almost an Ormus-like aspect to it, of certain types of methamphetamine just have this means, to plug into other dimensions and what have you. I've spoken, especially when it comes to speed, meth, and its derivative crack, that could really open up people to outright entity possession. But I digress. Please continue.
Well, I'm thankful that, I've never had, I would never allow entity. I mean, I'm not, I'm capable of a few things, right? And I would never be in agreement to allow anything to take me over. And I know that no matter how high. I always knew I wasn't an addict. Couldn't understand why I kept going back to drugs and going back to these same types of men that were abusive. And it wasn't until I realized now that even though I didn't like going through what I went through, it wasn't until I finally stopped and I just dropped everything. I broke programming, I laid in the bed, and I came off everything in 3 days, and I never looked back. I said, this isn't going to continue. And Simon Parks told me, you broke programming. James, I was laying in the bed and I heard ping, 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 right? And I could see there wasn't a screen in front of me, but I could see a screen in front of me. And I don't know what this experience was. And Simon said that was the alarm telling me it was time for me to wake up. Like time, it was time for me to. Okay, so I'm jumping ahead a little bit, but yeah. So I dated these guys, and a lot of them, I mean, these are really downright, and you'll see a lot of them in the music industry, especially hip hop and so forth. Most of them are closet faggots. They'll never admit that they, but
But
they
yeah, a
are.
lot of this, the irony, a lot of these so-called
They
gangster
hate
rappers,
women.
yeah, they hate women. And that's why you see video of Diddy, just dragging women down the hallways and beating them, because
Yeah.
that reptilian force working through them, that's where the misogyny comes from, essentially, right? This dark spiritual aspect to it.
Yes. So to jump a little bit further, so through my teens, I went into drug rehab and I was made to stay in, I was in a place called Second Genesis. Actually, Ray Leonard's sister was in there with me, the boxer Ray Leonard. Now, I promised her that I would never share what I know, but I'll just tell you this, and I won't share it, but I will tell you that, he was not a good guy by no means, right? And a lot of them, right? We know they present a certain persona for the world to see, and then they're involved in crap behind the scenes, and we're hearing so much of that, and so much more is going to be continue to come out. But I was made to stay in there for 18 months, do the adult program, because my counselor said that no child, I've lived a life, a life that most adults haven't lived because of all the drugs and the alcohol and everything that I went through. I watched Bubba get shot in front of me. My brother was a big PCP dealer, so I smoked a lot of P. I'm lucky I have a brain and I can think and I'm not burned out. And, I've done, and they say if you've done over 100 hits of acid, you're considered, insane. I definitely have done more than 100 hits of acid in my life. It was the first thing I intravenously used. So my point, I've recently been watching a lot of these, I actually it's 60 Minutes Australia of these young women where these stalkers come after them or the ex-boyfriend or whatever. And I don't know what's made me watch this kind of stuff here lately, but I'm just very, very fortunate to be alive, healthy, strong, having my mind intact and my heart open. Still, not being angry. There was a time I was extremely angry. I mean, I was angry. And I have a sister that's now starting to wake up. And, I've said to her, Frida, all the times that you guys were gaslighting me and didn't want to be around me and I wouldn't shut up and, because when it was like I just got overloaded with information when I had my awakening, James, that, and I was so angry at the religious, everything, religion, politics, the military, a lot of these military officials, these are Satanists. I hate to say it, maybe not the lower level, but if you are moving up in the ranks, you are definitely involved in some stuff. I don't care what anybody says.
Could you tell us about the lack of a better term, the grooming process? Because you're describing a scenario which I've heard before, but these different men coming into the equation, the abuse meted out to yourself and your other siblings. When did you start to notice, with the benefit of hindsight, whatever the case may be, when there was a more systematic aspect to this? Like, how were your dreams affected? What were the content of your dreams going through that abuse and whatever kind of mystical or astral experiences you had? And also, were there any efforts, to your knowledge, where you had whether fragmented memories or dreams, of being taken places, taken to like a facility somewhere, taken to a clinic somewhere, or a base somewhere?
So I do remember after my Kundalini activation, I remember being in a base. I believe there's a base underneath the building I was living in downtown Silver Spring, which was right on the DC Maryland line.
It's where
So the
Adamski had one of
grooming,
his experiences. How old were you when you had the Kundalini experience?
I was in my late 30s, early 40s, early 40s.
Okay, please continue.
No, I'm just trying to think. I probably could have done a timeline. But so, and it was through self-pleasure because I was so fed up with men and the bullshit and the lies and the, looking for love outside of myself. And I was newly clean and sober, and this was a pleasure center for me to, right? And one day it was too much, and I woke up at 5 in the morning, was told to go outside, and when I went outside, I could see plasmic beams in the trees, and I had the most overwhelming feeling of love that I've never experienced before. I was using telepathy, the colors of the trees, everything was changed, quite literally. And then I remember around that time I was outside and I heard they're killing and raping my children. I'll never forget that for the rest of my life. And one of the counselors, I was using telepathy, sending loving, healing energy to her, and it freaked her out. And that became a whole drama of its own. And I couldn't tell everybody what I was going through or what I was experiencing because I was in a freaking halfway house where everybody was on medical, medicine, and I was taking Adderall for ADHD and then all this shit for bipolar, and I'm not any of it. I'm not on anything and haven't been since 2013, 14, I think, maybe 15, could be 15, I think. I had stopped taking my all of it because the medication, one of the medications they had me on was having me picture, I was picturing blowing my brains out in the bathroom. And I came off of it immediately and confronted my doctor, and he just sat there with a blank face. And he told me to bring the medication back and they'd use it for samples for other patients. And I'm thinking, I'm supposed to be the freaking mental health, mental person here. And you're asking, I swear to God, Dr. Tannenbaum, I'll never forget it. I came off all their crap. I knew it was all lies. And he threatened me going out the door. He said, I had to be careful. There are powerful forces out there. And I said, and I turned to him and just like I'm telling, I don't give a F about you or the powerful forces you're referring to. I was so pissed. James, there was so much going on. But back to, I know you asked me a question and I kind of get all over the place. But the grooming just continued. I mean, from sexual abuse, running away, men just so I'd have a roof over my head, forcing me to have sex or do some kind of sexual act. To be able to stay in their home for the night because I had nowhere to go. I didn't want to go home. I mean, my train of thought was I would rather be abused by strangers than my own family doing this to me, right? Like it seemed to be more acceptable. It just seemed, and I always knew there was something very different about me, and I always knew there was something very wrong on this planet from my inception, I believe. So obviously, I didn't want to be born. I mean, I didn't want to drop down into this frequency. And I don't know that we agree to everything that, people say, oh, we make, contracts before coming in and this and that. I don't believe in all that crap. I think that's all new age nonsense. And if you know anything about Isabella Green and her work, I love her work. She's amazing. Should check her out, Isabella Green. You can have her on your show. She's awesome. But so I went through rehabs. Finally, this last time I went into rehab, and I started writing a book called Little Sister Lost Soul and got targeted big time for it. They stole my computer, broke into my home, cut hair out of my head. A lock of hair was laying. So, do you want to talk about the targeting part, or do you want me to keep talking about my family and all that?
Oh,
I'm sorry.
yeah, now that you bring it up, you mentioned earlier your genetic heritage. Could you once again remind us of both sides of your family as best you're able to piece together what your genetic heritage is?
So my mother is Irish Scottish, although her great grandmother was full-blooded Cherokee. So her dad was half Cherokee. She's
What was she again?
or no, her dad was a quarter Cherokee. His mom was half. Sorry.
I just
What
would
was
you
that?
cut out momentarily. Did you say Irish also or
Irish Scottish
oh.
and then half Palestinian. I have a lot of memory, James. A lot that I haven't even, and I'm not even prepared at this point. I'm at some point I will, but yeah. So my father again was Elohim. So I am bloodline from both my mother and father. And I believe that when my father had gotten in some trouble in Palestine, evidently they were stealing firearms from the military. Of course, it wasn't called military over there, but it wasn't him. It was his. My aunt, his sister's husband, although my father took the charge for him and evidently was taken out in the town over there, and they shaved his head and tried to, that's what the Satanists do. They try to, belittle you or what's the word?
Grade you,
Yeah,
humiliate.
humiliate, right. And he was able to come here to America, and he came in the early 50s. So he came to America, and I always questioned that. Like, how did you come from an Arabic country, it's stealing firearms from the military, and you just get sent over to America to live a good life? Something's not right there. I believe my father was used in the projects and programs as well at some level, and was sent over here. And I believe that they were my mother and father were put together to have me. My brother and my sister. And me, my brother, and my sister are, from my understanding, memory and memory, most of all, are the three beings of one of which I told you earlier before we had the show. We are the. So,
Just to hold that
I
thought,
think.
just a quick question. The whole weapons stealing charge, was that against the Palestinian military or against the Haganah, which was the predecessor for the IDF?
I don't know, James. That's a good question. I'm not sure. I went to go during this targeting. I know I'm jumping around. Please bear with me
Oh, no,
because.
it's fascinating. Please continue.
Okay, so the night that I went to go find out from my aunt, his sister, my Aunt Rose, who's passed away now, how my father got to this country, that night, this is during the targeting. I seen a djinn underneath my chandelier, this big, thick smoke like this, right? And I look and I'm like, I see you. I knew it was a djinn. So I consider myself a mystic. I'm not Christian. If I was to give myself a label, I would say a mystic, although I don't believe in labels. I have a direct connection with the divine, as we all do. And I don't praise to God, to, Jesus and Muhammad and Buddha and all the, I don't do it. I don't. So I saw the djinn. I acknowledged it was there, let it know I could see it. And mind you, I did my whole apartment in red, black, and white with mirrors around the entire apartment. I have pictures I could show you, which I believe this is a ritual or a ritual I did in a past life. And I'm confident of that. But anyways, I left, went to go to my Aunt Rose's, was asking her, my sister told me I had to forget it. She's not going to tell you anything. Because I wanted to know how my dad got here and what exactly was the involvement with the military and the guns and the whole bit. Like, at this point, I'm questioning everything. Meanwhile, I'm being told that my father was Elohim, so forth, so on. The other stuff I told you prior to the you opening the show. So I'm questioning everything. I'm not really telling a whole lot of people about every, you know, and so she doesn't tell me anything. I leave that night, I leave her apartment, and I go to call to get a cab to go home. And I wait 15, 20 minutes waiting on the sidewalk, this area where I was waiting. And I call back and they said, "We never got a call from you. No cab was ever dispatched for you." And at that point, I knew there was something going on. So they never got the call, it was intercepted. So I'm thinking I'm calling the cab company, but I'm really not. So I go. I leave instead of waiting for a cab. I didn't ask them to send me a new cab. I just went to the bus stop. Went to the bus stop, and there's a Spanish guy sitting there. I say hello. I'm very polite to everybody, respectful. And then this guy with the dreads comes and sits down. I say hello. We're standing there waiting for the bus. All of a sudden, James, this white light lit up the whole freaking bus stop from the street lamp, the light, the traffic light. And I know I was pushed into the lower fourth dimension at that point. So our entire grid system light are set up for them to abduct, take people, cause, manipulate timelines and some more stuff. And I know that to be true. So I get on the guys get on the bus, I get on the bus behind them. And I go to sit down, and out of nowhere, these two black boys come. There were nobody else around us. We were the only ones at the bus stop. There was nothing, because I'm paying attention to everything at this point, because so many anomalies were happening. The black boys get on the bus. The lady says, "You guys need to pay for your fare. You know, people want to get home from work." And I can feel their energy, like they're staring at me from behind me. And I look back, and sure enough, they're just staring right at me. So I get up and pay for their fare. And I said, "They don't know there's FEMA camps for kids like this." Sat back down, go to the metro station to get off to take the subway the rest of the way home. The kids are following me. I'm getting pissed. Long story short, I end up in Silver Spring, which is right outside of DC, literally 10 minutes and you cross the DC line. And the guys, when I got off the train, they kept going. When I got off the train and got to the escalator to go down, one of them's standing right there. So these beings, they're able to move. The time is different in the lower fourth dimension. It's not like here, and not like 3D. So they follow me to my house. I don't see them. I'm sleeping on the couch and I wake up my white light body and I step out of my body. And my body's still sitting on the couch and these boys walk right through the wall. And I get out of my body and I'm like, "What the F are you doing in my house? Get the F out." They run through the wall. I walk to the window and I watch them run across the parking lot. And then I look over to my body and walk back over and lay back in my body. This is the kind of shit that was going on. It was crazy. Like, just crazy stuff.
What would have
And, you
happened during
know.
this process was, and even before you got to the Kundalini part of your life, the Kundalini rising part of your life, the powers that be, they seem to know when certain individuals, when they start to really amp up their psi abilities, and when they start to have these energetic peaks, when they start to be able to do things like you were doing, manifesting things and being more psychic, the powers that be will be instantly on to that. And one of the things they do, or could do, is really, really hammer that person, try to hammer him to the ground every possible way. They don't want to actually squelch out all the psi ability. They want to suppress it, but be able to access and exploit it. in an opportunistic fashion, right, going forward. And then eventually, it's all basically designed to groom people, channelize them in certain directions so they wind up in these projects, these weird science, supernatural, mystical projects. But please continue.
Well, that's interesting you say that, all of that. And I appreciate that information, James. And I want to say to you, thank you for all the work that you've done for so many years, for so many of us. I really hold you in high esteem. I have a great deal of respect for you, and I appreciate you. So I just need to say that. So they sent a guy from the Pentagon after me. 6'4", Denzel Swag. And he told me, I said, Rick, you got to know I know you're here more than just because you like me. And he went, walked to my front door and opened the door and looked back at me and said, if I didn't know you were special, I'd have left you alone a long time ago. Not special that I'm a high esteem woman and, because I'm thinking, what is a military man, 20 years in the Air Force, interested in a girl that's got the history of drugs, sex, drugs, and rock and roll, right? Living this auspicious life.
How old were you at this time?
Was in my early 40s, like 40, 45. I mean, so I had my awakening in 2011. It was probably 2013, 14 when he came around, which I met him on a dating site. But what they did was they sent the guy the reptilian love bite first. Then they sent him. So I made a misstatement in the presentation I did in UK. It wasn't that I fought for my soul. My soul is mine. I fought for this body. What they wanted to do was, so basically he was said to be my handler. Okay. They wanted to keep an eye on me because they were wanting to shut me down. I mean, I had military guy, big black 6'5" hawk looking with this little bitty short white man and white woman with walking out, jumping out from the freaking building next door to where I was living, taking pictures of me. My girlfriend Sarah witnessed it. She's like, Ida, what are they doing? I said, just get in the car. Like every time I turned around, there was another something else going on. I'm like, this is, it was like a fucking, excuse my language, like a movie. I called the CIA, the FBI, DEA, state's attorney. Nobody would help me. I contacted him about the Dr. Tannenbaum. That told me to bring the drugs back in so he could give them to other clients. Admitted to me that he was prescribing me medication I didn't need. Like nobody would help me, James. They're all in it. I even went to the Mental Health Association because that's who I got this housing under. Mental Health Association, which is all over the United States. Somebody needs it. If you're out there and you're a good researcher, research the Mental Health Association because they're involved in this shit. I went to their office and sat down with the director and said, I know you guys were part of the sacrifice that was done on me. I was so angry. I was like ready to jump across the table. And Jimmy Frazier was with me, the guy that was running the halfway house I was in. He was like, I had to go outside, go out to my car. I'll be out there in a few minutes. And he came out and he said, why do you think all of these things are happening? I said, it's because who I am and the soul I behold. That's why. And he asked me who that was, and I told him, and we had a very interesting talk. So these people are put in place to be our handlers or to keep us from waking up or understanding what we're experiencing. You had mentioned how like the how they having different experiences and different timelines and dimensions when using certain drugs or so forth. Well, at the time I was taking Adderall, but I didn't need the Adderall. Like I knew that there, the Adderall did calm me, but I didn't need, I mean, I needed to come off all of it. It's just another way to keep us not connected to our true soul self and our gifts and abilities. But so, yeah, I don't know. My mind's going off somewhere else. Sorry.
Well, the cocaine and the so-called controlled substances, illicit drugs, if you will, and also, two sides of the same coin, the pharmaceuticals, They're essentially, aside from destroying health, I mean, look at the SSRIs. Sounds like you were on selective serotonin reuptake inhibitors, and they're known. They're supposed to be antipsychotics, but they give people suicidal ideation to go figure, right? But they also open up people
Absolutely.
all kinds of entity, malign entity influence. So it's a form of the so-called left-hand path that you hear mystics and adepts talk about, where yes, the cocaine and other substances can open you up, but it doesn't necessarily open you up in an organic, divine, mystical way. I mean, in the old days, you would have been, like you said earlier, regarded as a mystic. And there were even Christian mystics that were Christians, but they could levitate and they could, fight evil, do Constantine kind of stuff. And they were attacked. A lot of them were, martyred, so to speak. But because they're from that bloodline, and they got those certain types of energy bodies that allow them to do these things and direct connection to the divine. Whereas the drugs, they're kind of a left-hand path to that form of mysticism. And look how prevalent it is in the music industry, in Hollywood, every which way. And the pharmaceutical industry, we know that the term essentially means sorcery. Thank you, Rockefeller Medicine, right? So I'm not laughing because it's funny. I'm just laughing because it's.
Well, I would implore you and I say this with the utmost respect for you, James, but if you read, there's a guy named Dr. Amun on YouTube that hail Satan, he says. I giggle about it. I shouldn't laugh about it, but he's a character. But he was a professor at a college, at a university, and they got rid of him because he was exposing. So you say you mentioned that back in the maybe in ancient days that there's natural mystics and so forth. No, they were using drugs back then.
That
They
too.
were using
Yeah,
drugs back then.
absolutely.
They've always used drugs. Yes.
Although the
And if
psychoactive substance, the plant medicine, so-called, one of the great books of all time, a friend of mine who's since passed away, George Andrews, is a great researcher. He wrote a book called Drugs and Magic. And you're absolutely right that there's and what he meant by drugs and magic was in so many of these mystical traditions, right? But what I should have elaborated, I didn't want to talk too much, but if done under a certain discipline with a mentor, think of Don Juan Matus, the Yaqui Indian Nagual, man of knowledge, and his protege, Carlos Castaneda. That's just one example, right? If done in a way, and I know people, they go out into these places where they have a shaman to work with. Yes, that's done. But what I meant was for the general masses who are not going to go through that discipline route of having a mentor, having a shaman to work with, not one that's all corrupted and entity infested, of course, but like a well-meaning, heart-centered type individual. Yes, that's definitely one way to get that, Godhead, call it what one will. You're absolutely right about that. I should have specified, but then
No,
there's this.
I'm
The
not.
Rockefeller,
I'm just. No, what I was going to say was, so this guy, Dr. Amun, talks about the Greek texts of the Bible, like back, not what we see now, not because I don't think, think about it. The Bible's been rewritten, I don't know how many times, 140, 150,000 times. I mean, I don't know how many's out there, but they say the King James Version is supposed to be the most accurate version. I don't believe that either. And I don't believe a lot of what the Bible says, meaning I don't believe in the way people interpret it is definitely not what is meaning. And I think it's definitely used for mind control and for us to acquiesce and to continue giving our power over to something outside of ourselves. And we know that there's a spiritual hierarchy, and I don't give homage to any of them. I don't consider myself, an atheist. I know that there's the divine presence. I know that there's a source of, of this creation and what we understand as the multiverse. I know that. But I don't pray to any particular entity or energy. I just give thanks and I set my intentions and I thank my soul self because my soul self is the source and so is yours and everyone else. And that's just the way I see things. Because I used to be, you know, my family's not Muslim. They were Greek Orthodox. My grandmother, my mom's side was Methodist. I used to go to a big cathedral with her. That's another thing. I went at 5 years old in this underground sewer tunnel. I believe that was my initiation into the 3D. I didn't get to because I'm kind of all over the place. And that's always the challenge of being interviewed because my brain goes in 20 million places and there's so much
You
information.
make connections very quickly, and it may seem like you're going off on a tangent or digressing, but it's still connected to the point that you're trying to make. So I kind of fall into the same pattern, so don't feel bad. Anyhow, we
I
reached the end of a
appreciate that.
fascinating first segment with dear friend Ida Farhat. Could you tell our listeners and viewers how they can find your work and how they can find you online?
Sure. So I am on Facebook. If I've given you all the links. If you'll share them in the comment section, that'd be great. Also, my podcast is called Cosmic Ruach. Ruach means spirit in Hebrew, and I don't know what how. Yeah, that, and I also, well, I didn't get a chance to talk about any of that. Maybe the next time, but.
Well, or
Cosmic
the member
Roof.
segment, you can really cut loose if you want,
Yeah. Well, okay. Yeah. The I do ionic foot detox and PMF therapy for people. And I sell the machines and they're powerful and they work and they've helped me heal so much. I don't know, you didn't get a chance to do it while at the
No, I didn't.
conference. I
No.
wish I would have given it to you, James. You would have been blown away. It's really good
Probably, yeah, I'm
technology.
sure.
Yeah. But Cosmic Ruach on YouTube, Ida Farhat, you can look in the comic section and I'd love for you to subscribe. I haven't done anything on there for a while and I'm considering getting back to it, but I kind of want to change the platform a little bit and how I'm doing things and the type of interviews I do. And then Facebook. And yeah, I don't have a bunch of different. I need to finish my book, Little Sister's Lost Soul. That was one of the biggest reasons I was targeted too. Because things I was writing was manifesting in my life. And they don't want us to have our creator abilities. And we're all creators, right? They don't, because they want to control it all
Yeah,
or
they
use it
want
for their
to
benefit.
exploit it and
Yeah.
advance their miserable agenda.
Well, there you go. Exploit it. All right.
Yeah. Anyhow, we've reached the
Appreciate
end
your
of.
patience with me
Oh,
today, James.
it's
Yeah.
been thought-provoking. And to our dear listeners out there, if you like what we do, if you believe in what we do, please go to thecosmicswitchboard.com, sign up, become a member, and we'll see you at the top of the next segment.